Right.
I don't know about you, but I'm just, it's so overwhelming when you read and you know what the Lord has in store for you. In preparing we've went over scripture, and you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, it's not what I want to say, it's not what I want to do, but it's got to be about you. And this morning, I got up this morning, went out to the living room, and just began to go over some things. And you know, since God has changed things that has been happening here in this church, you know, it's man has come against it. And you know, during song service, as I'm standing there, and the Spirit of God began to move, you know, people don't agree with the feast. They don't agree with some of the things that we do. The Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me. He said, if we're going to do away with the feast, then we have to do away with salvation. Because everybody thinks you could do away with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the reason the New Testament was written. The Old Testament is the reason Jesus became our Savior. Because that's where it was first mentioned. So if we're going to do away with the feast, let's just do away with Jesus. Then where we're going to be. So see, you can't do away with no part of God's word. You got to take the whole thing. I don't know how I'm supposed to get to whatever I'm supposed to get to on this thing. But listen, if you and I don't know what you felt just a few moments ago. I don't know what about the second song as I'm standing there. I can feel a heart's cry. There was a heaviness of a heart's cry that I felt, and I felt it just as real as if I'd reach out and you touch my hand. And the Lord showed me there's a cry that has went out from our family members. There's a cry that has gone out from this community. There's a cry going out, but not everybody's feeling it. Not everybody's grabbing a hold of it. And this is a time, Sukkot's a time of preparation. It's a time to rejoice. And it's an ingathering. Powerful. You see, in order to get from where we were to where God wants to take us, we got to grab a hold to the whole Word of God. We can't pick and choose anymore. We can't decide, well, I'm going to do this feast, but I'm going to skip the next one. Because if you do that, what's going to happen is your salvation is not going to be made whole to you. The reason we are here, and I don't know if what I'm going to, everything that I'm going to read, I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. Because let me tell you something. The Leviticus 23 reading, we've heard it so many times, we should know it by heart. Because that's where it's, listen. We need to grab a hold of God like never before. You need to be sitting in your seat this morning. You say, where are we going with this? Let me tell you what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me people on the edge of their seat ready to run to where He is. Ready to take off and go where God says go. See, we go through things in life. We face things in life. But we don't have to go through them alone. So we don't have to go through them alone. And now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's our advocate. He's our attorney. He's making intercession for you and I right now. But also in a process, in a time of intercession, he's in his position where he's ready to go. And God says, "Son, go get my children." And that's what God is about to do. I don't believe that it's far off. I don't think that it's very far off at all. Because God is about sick and tired of the condition of the world. But what he's doing, he's gracing us right now. He's preparing us for what he has in grace. I got up this morning, and after I begin to read, I begin to get ready. And I'm sitting there. And I had one of those all of a sudden moments. You know what's the first thing I've done, Brother Josh? I repented. Because when God shows up, when nobody else is around, and the Spirit of God starts, he just shows up, a spirit of repentance comes. Because we feel so unworthy to be where God's at. If you feel like God showed up for you and you hadn't felt the spirit of repentance, you might ought to check your life. You might ought to see what's the matter with you. You might ought to see what's going on. You see, I asked the Lord, I said, God, why? People always ask God why. And a lot of times why questions aren't answered. But this question was answered. I say, God, why is it so hard for people to grab a hold of what's going on in this day and time? Look, he said the reason is they forgot where it started. The reason is they forgot not only the start, but they forgot what's in the end. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, look, this ain't even in my notes. But it started, you see, that's why I said what I said earlier. Everything Jesus went through was mentioned right here in this chapter. Everything he done came from Isaiah, came by the prophet Isaiah. So if we're going to do away with the Old Testament, what are we going to do about salvation? Where's salvation coming from? But he says he was wounded. He who had believed our report, and to whom the arm of the of Yahweh revealed. And if you go to John chapter 12, verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That's the evidence. That's one of the evidence to let you and I know Jesus is in control of our life. If you don't have rivers of living water flowing out of you, maybe we might ought to repent. Maybe we just might ought to have our salvation renewed. But he says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our sorrow, borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. But he was wounded." Listen to me. This is where we got to grab a hold of it. This right here is where we got to get it and apply it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And Yeshua had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears. Is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generations? For he was cut off of the land of the living. And the transgressions of my people, was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. In his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an everlasting offering for sin, he shall see his feed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion in the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And we ask the question, why should I serve God? Why should I attend church? Why should I quit living like I want to? Jesus is why. Because he showed up as a baby. And this is where people kind of disagree. He was human. He was our man. He wasn't God. He was the Son of God. And he bore our iniquity, so that you and I can prepare ourselves. Help, so that God can help us be prepared for this time and this season. Because listen, this is one of the greatest feasts we could ever prepare for. A time of rejoicing. You know, how much happier would you be if about the middle of song service, one of your kids that's running in the opposite direction from where God told him to run would have walked in and never even stopped at the pew, but just knelt down and accepted Jesus, rededicated their life. But you know why it don't happen? Because we don't look for it. We don't look for it. So often we come around and we say, well, I'm praying for my kids, but we don't expect change to take place. Listen, I believe we're about to witness one of the greatest outpourings of the Spirit of God than we've ever had. And it's going to start in groups like this. It's going to start in small groups. But we got to grab a hold of what God's saying. We got to get happy about what God's doing. We got to be willing to rejoice and want what God wants in our life. We got to be willing to let go of some things. We got to be willing to go places that we really don't feel like going, but God says go, so we have to go. You know, it's. I'm going to say this because the Lord reminded me of it several times this morning. We just come back from Indiana. And it was something that God had been putting together for about a year. But before we left, you know, we knew where God wanted us to go. We knew who God wanted us to be with and where He wanted us to visit before we left. But several months ago, I began to pray, Lord, it's not about stuff. It's not about my will. But I want more wisdom. I want more knowledge. And I want a greater anointing than I ever had. It's not about stuff. It's not about what we can own or we could get in and drive or get in and ride. But it's about who God is. I started to say it's not about stuff we can touch, because let me tell you something. When God shows up by His Spirit, it's so real you can touch it. If He's not that real to you, something's wrong. Because let me tell you, when He walks into the house, the atmosphere changes. You know, was it last week we were on Grand Bayou? We got home. In fact, we weren't home, but I think the next day we got called to go to Grand Bayou. And I walked into the room. And there were several people in there, and I just walked beside the bed. And I just slipped my hand into Scooby's mama's hand. I didn't say nothing. I just began to pray. And you can just, you can feel the presence of God when you walked in. But as we began to pray, there was an attack of the enemy that had just happened right before we got there. But you could feel that presence had to leave. It just had to just get out the house. And I made this statement. I said, you know, when Jesus was tempted, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was weak. He was hungry. The devil hit Him in what He thought was His weakest point. But what He done? He used the Word. I said, listen to me. If nobody in this room will read, somebody played a word. When the attack of the enemy comes, God's word is what you need. You need to begin to speak what thus says the Lord. You need to begin to speak the word of God, because when Jesus, listen, the devil came with a word that he came with a compromise word. The devil attacked Jesus with a compromise word. But Jesus answered him with the plain truth of what God's word really said. And the Bible says he had to flee. So, if you've been trying to get the devil off your back, maybe we need to go to the plain word of God. Go to what the truth of what God's word is saying and use that. And God's preparing us. He gave us an Old Testament reading to prepare us for a New Testament reality. Because it's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. There's no doubt about it. But you know, you go into some churches and you talk about Jesus coming back, they don't even know what you're talking about. Don't mention God's kingdom, because everybody want to go to heaven. But I'm talking about He is preparing us. And you know, if you go to the New Testament readings about this Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, every place in a New Testament Jesus went to a feast, there was a miracle that took place. Just read past that verse that in a study gives you, and go down a few verses, and you'll see where people were healed, people were delivered, and people were set free. So, this week, look at your neighbor and tell them, this week. See, you're going to have people that's going to come to your house because you're cooking. But use it as a setup. Set them up. Before you get to eat, you got to hear the word. We're going to eat, but we got to share why we're doing this. You know, if you don't share the reason you're doing these feasts throughout the week, it's just another meal. It's just another time that you get people together and you eat together. But the fact of the matter is, God's trying to prepare us to become a part of His kingdom. Because we're going to feast in the kingdom. So how am I going to know if I get to the kingdom what I got to do if I don't do it before I get there when we have everything that it takes right here? It's all right here. But you see, unless we go into it and we start digging, we got to start wanting it. We got to start desiring it. And this is what we're going to do. Because this is a time of joyful thanksgiving, letting God be God. Oh my. You can't just go anywhere and say that. Listen, I want the singers to come up here. So we're going to do exactly what the Lord showed me this morning. We're going to sing another song, Abba. Think about this. We were grafted in. Look at your neighbor and say, we were grafted in. We were adopted. See, we weren't born naturally to the kingdom, but God chose us. God chose us. And I have a reading over my door. It says, God's not going to send you where He can't take care of you. He didn't choose us to sometime down the road to say, I don't want you anymore. Listen, we just come back from a little boy. We had the chance to talk with a little boy that was adopted. And all of a sudden one night, the people that adopted him decided, we don't want you no more. God will never do that. God grafted us in. He chose us to be a part of His kingdom, so therefore we become heirs of the throne. Join heirs through Christ. Don't forget, it's only through Jesus. It ain't because you've done some good works. It ain't because you got up this morning and sprayed the right cologne on you, or used the right underarm deodorant, or took a shower. It's because Jesus paid the price, because He was willing to do the will of the Father so that you and I can be a part of God's kingdom. And listen to me. If you do this right now, at this moment of this service, you say, well, this is the strangest Sukkot service I ever been in. Well, listen, if this is strange to you, when you get to the kingdom, there's going to be some things happening that's going to be really strange to you. Because it's going to be a time of rejoicing. It's going to be a time of praising. Listen, we need to begin to worship God like He's coming back in the next 2 minutes. We need to begin to honor Him like He's about to tell His son, "Son, go listen." Jesus is like this, waiting. He's waiting. You know, how can I prepare myself for the kingdom if I don't know nothing about it? How can I prepare myself to do feast in the kingdom if I ain't done feast on earth? If I never done it now. But it's about who God is. It's not about the speaker this morning. It's not about who your pastor is. You see, let me clear some minds up. I'm just telling you what the Lord's speaking to my spirit. Some of you kind of looked at me when I walked up like, we didn't even know he preaches anymore. You see, the transition that took place, I knew for years while Brother Josh was running, I knew I was filling a temporary spot, because back when he was a teenager, God called him for this position. So don't think it's strange that he just got saved. Listen, when God changes someone, it don't take years. When God changes someone, it don't take college. All it takes is a willing heart to say, "Okay, God, here I am." And a transition took place. And listen to me, I also want to say this. There's going to be a lot of times you're going to look right here. Or you're going to look right there, and me and my wife is not going to be here. Because we know there's places God's about to send us. Because in this time of preparation, in this time of transitioning, God began to till the ground. God began to soften hearts. There's some hardened hearts across the United States of America that we're about to minister to. But you got to want what God wants. Don't be... confused by transition. Don't let it interfere with your walk with God. Because what took place was God's perfect will. But we're about to sing this song. And when you feel it, I'm not talking about just another song. I'm talking about Abba Father. Our Father, our Creator. You need to let go. You need to worship the Lord like you ain't never worshiped Him before. Because that's why we're here today. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get caught up in what we think we have to go run home and do. This is God's day. This is God's day. You know, I'll never forget the first time we went to Texas. We was in service for 4.5 hours. For 4.5 hours on Sunday. When we got to the hotel, my wife and I looked at each other and said, "What in the world?" We wouldn't have had nobody in most churches for 4.5 hours. But imagine the price Jesus paid. That's what you got to think about. What Jesus went through so that we could have this time set aside for our Father. He didn't ask for 7 days, He asked for one. You know, if we can't give Him a whole day out of seven, what are we going to do in the kingdom? It's not going to be a time to say, "Oh, time out, I got to take a break here." See, in this day and time, that's what people have done. They say, "Time out, I got to take a break. time out. I missed out on doing something that I should have done, so I need to go back. Only to find they're 7 times worse than when they left. But it's you and I's duty. It's our job to continue to pray for them. We can't give up on them. I said we can't give up on them. You know why I got saved at the age of 14? Because of a visitation riding in a flatboat about 1 o'clock in the morning when the Spirit of God showed up and said, "Hey, I love you. I need you." And the following Sunday, I found myself in an old-fashioned altar crying out before God at the age of 14. You see, I was one. I was one of those people at the age of 21 that I thought, let me go back. Definitely, I missed something. Let me go back. But you know what? I thank God for a group of people that never quit praying. And I can tell you, every day, every night, every morning, all through the day, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt somebody was calling Troy's name out. Because that spirit, that calling of God that he had on my life would never go away. Until I walked into an old wooden building that was out in the front of this building. Thinking, I'm just going to go when I'm done. They'll leave me alone. You see, Brother Joshie, when people leave you alone, God don't give up. God don't say, he don't say, I'm giving up. But I remember standing on that side of the building in the last row. And making it through the whole service and just standing there thinking, I made it. Until it was said, God's not done and we're not leaving. And I knelt down and I began to cry out to the Lord. And my life hadn't been the same since. So don't go around thinking that there's no hope. No, it might sound like they're not listening. It might sound like they're not hearing, but don't quit praying. Thank God somebody in the wee hours of the morning cried out, "Troy." Thank God that he never gave up. Thank God that there was times when my wife wasn't home. And all of a sudden that spirit would show up and say, "Son, come home." You know what he done? He walked to the porch every day and he's looking. He walked out to the front door and he's looking. You know why the prodigal's dad met him in the road? Because he was at the door looking, expecting him to show up. When's the last time we walked to the front door spiritually and looked for him to show up? See, we have not because we asked him. But it's time that we grab a hold of who God is and we give him all the glory because of what he's done for us.